This is the Briznet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and Ed DeRosa.
I'm Bobby Newman here on the Briznet.com call-in show. Welcome to the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're here every Thursday with the Briznet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman and Action Ed DeRosa. This is your hour, HRRN Nation. Give us a call at 888-966-4776. We'll do our very best to give you the most honest answer we can. And sometimes your questions, well, they're hard questions to be brutally honest about, but we don't like to be politically correct when it comes to this show. So ask us anything you'd like. And we're going to go out to the phone lines now. Dan in California, welcome to the Briznet.com call-in show.
Hey, thanks, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing really good. Getting ready to hop on a red eye to Canewind tomorrow. So I haven't ever been out there before for the races. I've been there for the sales, but this will be my first opening day there, and I really look forward to it. I'm going to do some farm tours as well while I'm out there. I was just going to ask you, who do you like in the Breeders' Futurity on Saturday out there?
Well, I'm not going to give you the answer to that race because it's part of our weekend stakes preview presented by Naira Betts that we have tomorrow night from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern time. But as usual, it's a fantastic race, and it's a race that obviously is a big stepping stone to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile each and every year. Part of it, I mean, I'm sure you've glanced at all of the races this upcoming weekend at Keeneland. I mean, it's just a powerhouse show, just nonstop, top to bottom, starting with tomorrow all the way through Sunday.
Yeah, it looks like a really nice card on all 3 days that I'm going to be out there. I am going to be going to the Breeders' Cup as well at Del Mar, so I guess I'll be seeing a few of these horses out there. I was going to ask you, how's Anthony Stabile doing? I haven't heard him in a few weeks.
Anthony Stabile is unfortunately no longer with the network. He's moved on to other things. You can still see him every day on the Naira pregame show talking horses. And it's just one of those things where he decided to part ways. But still keep in touch with him. He's doing well. And the most important thing is he's much healthier now than he was a few months ago when he was really having some issues. So that was one of the reasons that he wasn't on the air. He's doing well. He seems like he's in good spirits, and he's just moved on.
Well, that's fantastic to hear. I'm sorry to hear he's not with the show any longer because I really enjoyed listening to him, but I'm glad he's doing well. And you're doing a fantastic job as well, and we thank you so much for your service, and I'll take the rest off the air.
I appreciate it, Dan. Thanks for your call. Dan's trip to Keeneland sounds a lot like what my trip is going to be like to Lexington next weekend, although Dan's going to get to see a lot of great stakes action over the weekend, whereas when I go next week, I'll still get to see some stakes races, but not the major ones, not the ones with, you know, possible Breeders' Cup implications. Most of those are this weekend, and they go into the middle of next week, I think, with the Jessamine for the two-year-old fillies on the turf. And of course, you know, Dan, whether it's the Thoroughbred Charity, you know, the TCA or the Spinster or what have you, Dan's going to get a lot of great racing at Keeneland. And it sounds like he's going to go on some farm tours. There are so many great farms out there and farms that are great sponsors of ours here at HRRN. One of them is Spendthrift, and I'm happy to say that I am going to go to Spendthrift for the first time in my life a week from tomorrow, actually before I go on the air for the Friday edition of Race Day presented by Twin Spire. So looking forward to getting out there and seeing Into Mischief and seeing Monomoy Girl and all the great stallions they have there at Spendthrift. Dan's going to have a great trip as well, taking the red eye tonight and getting out for all that great racing action at Keeneland. And speaking of great racing action at Keeneland, a guy who probably never misses this opening weekend is our good friend Action Ed DeRosa. Ed, where will you be when Keeneland's running tomorrow?
I'll be at my desk firing away via Twin Spires.
All right. Well, that's certainly an acceptable answer. I was hoping you would say.
Surprised.
I was hoping you'd say I'd be sitting in a box right at the 16th pole at Keeneland, you know, with your Twin Spires app open. But at your desk is okay as well.
Yeah. Got to pay some bills, but yeah, very much looking forward to opening weekend. I think the card's incredible, and should be a lot of fun.
What is the weather supposed to be like opening weekend? Have you glanced at it yet?
I actually haven't. Shame on me, because I've handicapped for the website. My picks are already up for Friday. But usually my kids are very anxious about the rain, so the fact that I haven't heard anything, I guess I just kind of took for granted it might not rain this weekend, but I don't know. Shame on me.
All right. Well, it was so exciting that we had to play a music bed over your weather forecast right there. I thought you were gonna, you know, go into a full Jim Cantore there. At least you're not standing out with a, you know, with some sort of a windbreaker with holding on to, you know, palm trees that are half blown over, like we see here in Florida sometimes. But once again, the number to call.
That's what Mike asked of me.
Once again, the number to call in, 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. A question I asked Ed, and I'd love your opinion on this as well. If you go to BreedersCup.com, it gives you the rankings in each division of the horses that are leaning, you know, possible runners in certain races. It doesn't necessarily mean who's the best in that order, but maybe who's got the most, you know, the most qualifying points or whatever it is. And when you look at the Classic, the top seven are all runners who should be running in the race. Essential Quality, Nick's Go, Hot Rod Charlie, Medina Spirit, Maxfield, Art Collector, and Max Player. All of those horses figure to go in the Breeders' Cup Classic just about a little over 4 weeks from now at Del Mar, going a mile and a quarter on their main track. Handicapping those seven races, and not asking you for a selection because it's way too early for that, but handicapping the pace of those seven horses, is it something where you say, this is going to be a solid pace and somebody's easily going to be able to close? Or do you look at it and say, I know the pace should be solid in here, but the horses you're going to have to pass are like Nick's Go and Medina Spirit and Art Collector, and those are horses that are not easy to pass.
No, Hot Rod Charlie, I'd put in that mix as well. I would say, you know, depending on how strongly you think of Nick's Go is what might sway you in one direction or the other. If you think he's a Ghost Zapper level type horse, then 2004 might be the year you look to when, you know, Ghost Zapper went 1-2 and his trainer, Bobby Frankel, was very vocal throughout the week telling, you know, Ken Ramsey and just kind of joking with the media, et cetera. Like, if you want to run with this horse, you're not going to win, period. And no one really ran with him. And they went 1-2 all the way around. But, you know, I'm not really sure the connections of Hot Rod Charlie are those types. I would think they're going to want to take the race to him. Medina Spirit doesn't get passed. So, you know, at some point they're going to want to go for the lead. It's really compelling to me what the connections of the horses who aren't Nick's Go are going to do, because Brad Cox has made it very clear that they're going. Nick's Go is going to the lead, and they're going to fight for the lead. They're not going to rate. So it's interesting.
So I'm just asking you this as a guess, and it's not something I would ever ask Brad Cox, because I don't think we would get a true answer. Is as forthright as Brad Cox is, if I ask this question to him, I think he'd hem and haw about it. Let's hypothetically say that Brad Cox roots evenly for Nick's Go and Essential Quality. He's the trainer of both of these horses. He doesn't own either of these horses. So he roots evenly for these horses. If you were Brad Cox, would you rather see Nick's Go left alone on the lead or Essential Quality sitting fourth when Nick's Go, Hot Rod Charlie, and Medina Spirit are mixing it up?
I'd say you'd rather have Nick's Go on the lead. That feels to me like one in the hand. because the lead, you're in the lead. Even if they're just burning each other up front, a central quality still, you know, would need to make sure no horse is going to back into him. You know, he makes his own skill. He's that good. But, you know, yet the Derby comes to mind, got hung wide and didn't sustain that bid. And, you know, I don't think Brad wants a repeat of that. So I would say he would want to be on the front end alone with Nick Sko.
Okay, so I happen to agree with you with that. So I think we both agree that we know what they want for Nick Sko, for him to have his best scenario winning. Let's take a look real quick at these seven runners. And there are obviously going to be other runners in the Breeders' Cup Classic, but these are the seven quote-unquote big names who are looking for that race right now, assuming Mishriff doesn't change course and go from the turf back over to the Classic. And once again, the number to call in, 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-4776. The phone lines are open. Give us a call if you'd like. I want your opinion on what is the best-case scenario for each of these seven runners, and I'll ask you one at a time, for them to win the Breeders' Cup Classic. So Nick Sko, we know. It's to get out in front, be unbothered on the front end, and just go wire to wire. What is Essential Quality's best-case scenario?
I actually think for him, as close as he's been in recent races, I envision maybe more a Breeders' Cup Juvenile trip, which had Jackie's Warrior in it. We know how fast he is. I would say Essential Quality's best scenario is mid-pack or further.
Okay, so Essential Quality definitely closing at some point into what you would think would be an honest pace is his best chance to win. Third on the Breeders' Cup rankings is Hot Rod Charlie, coming off an impressive win in the Pennsylvania Derby last time out. He'll be facing his elders for the first time. What's his best case scenario?
I would say he would somehow ends up on the lead because Nick Sko doesn't show up.
All right, so it's his best case scenario is for something out of the expectations to happen as far as the pace scenario goes with Nick Sko.
Yes.
Okay, which sounds like you're not really leaning as a big Hot Rod Charlie fan in this spot as far as the win goes. Is that, am I catching that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. Fourth on the list is Medina Spirit, coming off that gigantic win in the Awesome Again. I'll tell you this, Ed, I don't know about you. I was against Medina Spirit this weekend in the Awesome Again. I didn't think he had to win that race. He not only proved me wrong, he destroyed that field, probably ran the best race of his career. What's his perfect scenario?
I'd say he has a little more latitude than does Hot Rod Charlie. But again, I would say, you know, you want him to be up front as quickly as possible. I don't think he would grind away at Nick Sko and, you know, just get the nose down type of race. So definitely close to the pace, but, you know, probably want to be on the lead by the far turn.
Interesting.
And then he doesn't get passed. So, you know, in my mind, that I'm sure, you know, Johnny knows that, I'm sure he's thinking, like, you know, we don't want to put ourselves in a position where horses are able to pass us, not for the win, but they're just trying to get position. So I would think I could see Medina Spirit making the first legitimate move against Nick Sko.
Once again, the number to call us is 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-4776. Phone lines are open. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, more with Action Ed DeRosa. The phone lines are open here on the BrisNet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Daily charges on the best fall racing can add up quickly, which is why BrisNet.com offers discounted prices on Keeneland's fall meet. Want to handicap all October for one low price? Then visit brisnet.com/plans to get full Meet Keeneland past performances. For only $20, you can have unlimited access to PPs at October's premier racing meet. Are you looking to go beyond the PPs and get even more information and analysis? Brisnet.com has full meet daily selection plans for Keeneland. Daily Selections is Brisnet's flagship picks product, providing full card analysis and best bets for the nation's top tracks. Visit brisnet.com/plans to get your Keeneland plans now. Buy now and save all October long.
Mark your calendars for Saturday, October 9th, as the best West Virginia breds in training take to the track for the 35th annual West Virginia Breeders Classics. The night features nine stakes races worth a total of $1 million, headlined by the $300,000 West Virginia Breeders Classic and the $175,000 Kubota Breeders Classic. It all gets started under the Saturday night lights at 7 o'clock Eastern. It's the 35th annual West Virginia Breeders Classics on Saturday, October 9th, here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, Bobby Newman and Ed DeRosa. We'll head back out to the phone lines. Our good friend Charles in Mississippi, welcome back to the show.
Well, Ed, Bobby, we're going down the rabbit hole again.
Yeah.
And Ed, it's good to hear you. But
it's good to be heard.
I will bet y'all. I don't know what. Whenever I could meet up with y'all at Oaklawn Park, but both of y'all, but I'll bet you the sandwich of your choice and a beer, mixed drink, or a Coke or Pepsi, whatever you want to drink, that Nick's Go will not hit the board in the Breeders' Cup.
Wow. Okay, so just for the sake,
I tell you what, I will walk up there, stand in line, and get it and bring it to you with napkins, salt and pepper, whatever you want.
Okay, so wait a minute. So the bet is a sandwich and a beer. Is that what we're going with?
Whatever you're drinking. Whatever you're drinking.
Okay, so listen, I don't – first of all, I don't know who I like in the Breeders' Cup Classic, but knowing that this guarantees that I get to meet you in person, Charles, I will accept that wager. And,
right.
I will walk up
to the concession, and I will take care of everything. The tip. The sandwich, if you want a pizza, I mean, I'll get the, you know, whatever you want.
All right, so the wager is I need Nick's Go to finish first, second, or third in the Breeders' Cup Classic
to win. You and Ed. Yeah, Mr. DeRosa. I got to throw DeRosa in, under the bus, too.
Okay, so I can tell you right now, I will most likely be at Oaklawn the weekend of the Rebel Stakes, which has been moved up from mid-March to the end of February, but we're already planning this trip, so we got a lot of time between now and then, Charles, but I accept that wager and look forward to either getting paid or paying it off.
Okay, that's cool, but look, I don't even think the horse, I mean, when you look at this race, you know who I like in this race. If I don't get Misgriff, I'm going to bet EQ. I'm going to bet him. I think he's growing into his shoes. I just love him, okay? Especially if that speed sets him up and he can – and Saez doesn't get him too close. And I know at Del Mar, it's going to be a tough act to follow. Come back to Hala. But if you go back to that Saudi Cup when Nick's goal ran with Charlatan, Charlatan ate his lunch up, buddy. I don't know if there's an American horse running today that can run the internal fractions that Charlatan ran that day. But, man, you go back and look at that race, buddy. Look at that race.
You're kind of making the case for the other side because there might not be another horse that can run like Charlatan did or cause the trouble for Nick's go that Charlatan caused.
Well, then I've let my big mouth overload the concession stand, Bobby. Once again, I've let my big mouth overload, my rear end.
Well, let me ask you this, Charles, but before we let you go, I know you're a big Mishriff fan. It sounds like Mishriff is going to run in the turf and not the Classic. It's not set in stone, but do you like Mishriff as much in the turf as you would in the Classic?
Of course. Of course. Did you see that race in New York? They didn't even have it. I mean, he destroyed that field. And I think two of the three horses that were in that field came back. I think one of them won at 3-5 at Woodbine. I think Charlie Appleby. So I'll have to go back and look at my records. But do you realize that Mishriff is double inbred to Danzig, Bobby? I mean, I beg you guys to go back and look at his pedigree. I mean, it is. If he runs in the Breeders' Cup Classic and wins it, he can command a figure. I mean, when you got a horse that can run on the dirt and the turf at high rate of speed, oh, man. I'm just telling you, buddy. I've seen a lot of horses run. I haven't seen a horse this year that can run with that horse. And I love Gosden. You'll have him trained to the minute. But, hey, I'll be willing. I'm just, hey. What am I going to be out? $40 for a couple of sandwiches for you and Ed?
Listen,
it depends on if they have the lobster roll that day.
No,
I'm a
cheap date. Whatever Ed's spending, and mine's going to be much less.
They have some wonderful oysters on the hash shell. I'll get you whatever you want, Ed. Don't ever say I shortchange you. Don't ever call me Cheap Charlie, okay?
Listen,
I will do whatever you... I will take care. If you want me to go across the street to Rockies and get you a pizza, I'll go across the street into Rockies.
Well, that may be arranged too. And Charles, thanks for your call. I can tell you this, Ed. You may be looking for the lobster roll or something like that. I'm very happy with one of Oaklawn's famous corned beef sandwiches, and just get me a Modelo or something like that.
That can't
be more than about $15-16. That it will cost Charles if Nick's go hits the board in that race. The phone lines are open, 888-966-4776, the number to call, 888-966-4776. While we have a breather here, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Speaking of the Breeders' Cup, Order of Australia returns to Keeneland. The Court by Australia led a Coolmore sweep in the 2020 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile. There aren't many sure things in horse racing, but here's one. Order of Australia won't be 73-1 going to the post in the $750,000 Grade 1 Keeneland Turf Mile October 9th. Those were the odds on the now 4-year-old Australia colt when he led an Aidan O'Brien-trained trio to a 1-2-3 sweep in the Grade 1 2020 Breeders' Cup Mile just 11 months ago, also at Keeneland. Aidan O'Brien has been targeting the U.S. trip since mid-summer. Quote, he has plenty of speed and gets a mile well, O'Brien commented over after Order of Australia's pace-setting win in the 7-furlong Romana Said Minstrel Stakes, a Group 2 event at the Curra July 18th. He's a horse to look forward to and can go to America later in the year. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The new Blood Horse Plus, available through bloodhorse.com, provides exclusive content to subscribers, including behind-the-scenes videos and interviews, a daily detailed stakes winners section, on-demand access to deeper horse stats, Blood Horse Market Watch, monthly credit on equineline.com for pedigrees, race, and produce records, and much more. That's the new Blood Horse Plus on bloodhorse.com. Upgrade today. happy to say that I had Order of Australia by virtue of hitting the all button in the Breeders' Cup mile last year. Doesn't always work out that well, Ed, but it did last year as Order of Australia ringing home at 73 to 1. Program number 15 was Order of Australia in the Breeders' Cup mile. Let's head back out to the phones. George in Naples, welcome back to the Bristnet.com call-in show.
Hey, guys, always a great show. You know, I'm doing the Cardinal sin. I'm following Mr. Mississippi. That's like taking the Green Bay Packers the year after Lombardi retires. I mean, that is not the spot you want. That's why I used to, when Big A was there, I used to call leadoff, but I'm starting to get busy down here in Naples, so I got to call when I can. I wanted to touch on Keeneland a little bit. It's funny you guys were talking about food because Keeneland, A, if you've never been there, when you drive up, you know you're in a different place. And when you're there, there's not too many, and I've been to every major track in the country and Woodbine, and I've been to some great racetracks, but not many you can label majestic, and I can label Keeneland majestic. From the time you walk in, and somebody's, one of the little old ladies and little old men going to, in a green blazer, all pressed, is going to greet you and say, "Hi, welcome to Keeneland. How can I help you?" It's just beyond anything that, from a customer experience that I've ever experienced, and I've been following racing for 45 years, 50 years almost. Yeah, 50. And it's just, it's another realm. And anybody that hasn't been, and if you don't get the Burgoo, you're missing your opportunity. But anybody that hasn't been is in for a treat, and anybody that goes back knows what I'm talking about, because the fondness that anybody that goes has for that place is unparalleled in my eyes. So I can't speak highly enough. It's been managed so well over the years. All the presidents have really done a pretty good job of keeping it pure. I don't want to say pure, you know, no slots, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, the sales drive what they do. But thank God for Keeneland. And everybody asks me, oh, should I go in the spring or the fall? Well, the chances of you getting 34 degrees are better in the spring than they are the fall for the whole day. I mean, there's some spring days when, let's face it, racing's not football. 34 degrees isn't conducive to Keeneland. But it happens in the spring. It doesn't happen that much in the fall. So I just wanted to say that for anybody that's considering going, stop considering it and go. And then real quick on the Breeders' Cup, I'll touch real quick on the Breeders' Cup. Last week I added, all things being equal, if Jackie's Warrior loses, or goes in the sprint and loses, I quit. Well, I'll say another thing after watching Medina Spirit this weekend. Clean break, no issues, no clipped heels, no bad breaks, no lost the irons. If Medina Spirit wires this Breeders' Cup field with the speed that's in here, I'll quit. And I'll leave it to you guys. Thanks again for a great show. We always appreciate you.
Thanks for your call, George. Interesting note there. First of all, very happy to be going to Keeneland for the first time in many, many years next week. I can't wait to get back out there. Going to be a lot of fun. Really looking forward to it. And a lot of what George is saying is right, and the customer service there is notoriously fantastic. And it's just a different place when you pull up and park in that parking lot. As far as Medina Spirit goes, you know, I mean, is Medina Spirit going to try to make the lead over Nick's Go if they both break well, or does that just hurt both of their chances? And that's a big question mark, whether or not Medina Spirit actually goes to the lead. You know, another thing to remember about this, George, is, and I don't think it plays into what the riders are doing themselves and what the trainers want to happen. Both John Velasquez and Joel Rosario are represented by the same agent. And now the agent doesn't have the, you know, isn't the end-all be-all of what's the decision-making as far as how to ride the horses. I would assume that the agent, Ron Anderson, who's been doing it for a long, long time, would rather not see Medina Spirit and Nick's Go going nose-to-nose, 109 and change, 110 flat, whatever it is, trying to make the lead at all costs for a mile and a quarter. First of all, they're much better riders than that. And I'm not sure that Johnny V or anyone wants to get involved with Nick's Go where it could cost themselves their best chance at a race. It's really an intriguing pace scenario in this year's Breeders' Cup Classic, and obviously post position will have something to do with it as well if somebody draws way out on the outside or somebody draws on the rail. But I agree with you. If Medina Spirit gets out in front of this field and is forced to go fast and wires this good of a field, he's already a better horse than I ever thought he was. I never thought he was as good as Life Is Good. I'm not even sure he is as good as Life Is Good. But he's really, really good. And he proved it. He showed me something that I didn't expect last weekend in the Awesome again. Let's head out to the phones once again. Patrick in Orlando, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's happening, Bobby? What's up, Ed?
Hey, Patrick, how are you?
Good. Hey, last time we talked, I had just gotten back from Arlington Park. That was my annual trip to a different track this year outside of Tampa and Holiday and Gulfstream that I go to. And I am considering going to Oaklawn next year. I figured the Rebel Stakes might be an easier ticket and easier way to get in and out of than the Arkansas Derby. And I want some of Charles's action because I'll take that. I think Nick's Go is going to hit the board, so I'll take a sandwich and beer as well, you know.
Well, I don't know if Charles – I mean, Charles is a very opinionated and very strong-minded, and I'm sure he would take on all comers when it comes to that bet. But either way,
it sounds like
we could get a good group of racing fans and HRN, you know, listeners out there for that weekend, whether they're people who would normally go to Oaklawn and be there for that time of year, people who are just thinking about going for a weekend or two. I've never been for the Arkansas Derby, so I don't know what that's like. I assume it's very, very busy. It's obviously their racing festival and their biggest weekend of the year. We've always decided to go for Rebel Weekend because it's basically the preps for all of those big races, and you still get to see, you know, great fillies and mares running, prepping for the Apple Blossom, and you get to see all the, you know, some of the great three-year-olds running in the Rebel, which is a million-dollar race. I'm a little disappointed that the Rebel was moved from the middle of March to the end of February because there's a much better chance at cold weather now at the end of February. But it's a fun place to go, and whether you're staying at just a chain hotel or renting a house like on one of the beautiful lakes that are within, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of the track. And then the other thing that's fun about going to Oaklawn, in addition to the racing is spectacular every year. And yeah, I mean, you could stay at the hotel right there at Oaklawn now, which is open. But the other thing that's great is that it seems like everyone in the town after the races are racing people. So wherever you go, whether it's, you know, a pizza place across the street or a bar up the street or wherever it is, it seemingly everyone has been to the track that day, and you're just amongst people that you like being around. So it's a real fun atmosphere, and it's just an old style track. You know, it's not a track where they've got, you know, beautiful suites and a glorious grassy outside paddock area. It's very old school with the indoor paddock and the, you know, mostly indoor facility. You can go into the infield if you want, if the weather's nice, which is a fun thing to do for a few races. But if you go out there, Patrick, and thanks for your call, if you go out there, would love to figure out something where a bunch of us can get together, and whether it's grabbing a beer after the races or a sandwich during the races or hopefully cashing in on a bet from Charles from Mississippi, we'd have a lot of fun. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more here on the Bristnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Give us a call, 888-966-4776.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Daily charges on the best fall racing can add up quickly, which is why Brisnet.com offers discounted prices on Keeneland's fall meet. Want to handicap all October for one low price? Then visit Brisnet.com/plans to get full meet Keeneland past performances. For only $20, you can have unlimited access to PPs at October's premier racing meet. Are you looking to go beyond the PPs and get even more information and analysis? Bristnet.com has full meet daily selection plans for Keeneland. Daily Selections is Bristnet's flagship picks product, providing full card analysis and best bets for the nation's top tracks. Visit brisnet.com/plans to get your Keeneland plans now. Buy now and save all October long.
I want to get back to being in my community group.
I want to continue having a soccer season.
So I can throw parties again. So I can go to her parties.
It'd really be nice to dine in instead of getting delivery for a change.
So I can feel safe and protected for myself and my students.
We each have our own reason for why we're getting vaccinated against COVID-19. What will yours be? Visit GetVaccineAnswers.org for information on the COVID-19 vaccines. It's up to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, this is jockey Brian Hernandez. For me, there's no bigger thrill than crossing the finish line in front, and nobody captures the excitement of our sport like Horse Racing Radio Network. Each week, HRRN brings you exclusive talk shows, podcasts, and in-depth conversations with the biggest names in racing, jockeys, trainers, owners, and more. Plus, HRRN is committed to helping disabled riders through their support of the PDJF. So climb aboard a winner today by visiting horseracingradio.net.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to this week's edition of the Brisnet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman along with Ed DeRosa. Phone lines are open. Give us a call if you'd like, 888-966-4776. Once again, that's 888-966-HRRN. Happy to answer just about all of your questions. I apologize for not answering the question of who I liked in the Breeders' Futurity, but saving that as part of the Weekend Stakes preview presented by Naira Betts tomorrow night, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Friday here on HRRN. Was speaking with Ed earlier about the top seven horses in the Breeders' Cup Classic rankings according to BreedersCup.com. Not necessarily the horses who are going to be favored in this order, but the horses who are ranked highest either qualifying-wise or races won. And those seven, all who figure to run in the race, Essential Quality, Nick's Go, Hot Rod Charlie, Medina Spirit, Maxfield, Art Collector, and Max Player. Ed, we talked about the first four on the list, Essential Quality, Nick's Go, Hot Rod Charlie, and Medina Spirit. Number five on the rankings is Maxfield, a horse who's never run a bad race thus far in his career. They actually tried him with blinkers on last time out in the Woodward, and he ran second behind Art Collector, who was able to get an easy lead that day. Maxfield, to me, seems like the horse most likely to benefit if the pace is fast in the Breeders' Cup Classic, and I think he's actually run a race or two that has a chance to compete with horses like Nick's Go if they run their good races. What is your opinion of Maxfield as far as what's his best scenario for getting to the winner's circle?
Yeah, I would agree with your assessment that he's been fast enough, and he's had some races similar to Essential Quality in that they've both shown an ability to be closer if need be. We saw that with Essential Quality in the Bluegrass when he sat right off highly motivated. Maxfield as well. Forget if it was the Ali Sheber, the Stephen Foster, looked void of pace, and he made sure he was in the race. So that both gives them an interesting dimension against this group. Not because I think they need to be closer if it's fast, but as we saw with Zenyatta in her classic, if you're just going to lope along and try to be last and make one run, if they're going fast, you're just going to be too far out of it. You need to be able to keep up to a certain extent, and both those colts have shown an ability to do that. So I'm with you. In my mind, if you don't think Nick's Go can go gate to wire, then Maxfield and Essential Quality are the very logical alternatives. I just don't see Medina Spirit, Hot Rod Charlie, Art Collector. I don't see any of them being able to head Nick's Go at any point and have enough left in the tank for the other two.
Well, it's interesting you say that because number six on the list is Art Collector, and I was thinking somewhat similar to you. Art Collector is a very good horse. Listen, he's been a good horse all along. He was a good horse for Joe Sharp. He was a really good horse for Tom Drury, and he's become a great horse for Bill Mott. And that may just be the progression and him getting older and getting better. But he's coming off back-to-back impressive wins in the Charlestown Classic and the Woodward. That's the thing. The art collector, though, his running style may be his own worst enemy in this spot because, like you, I don't think he's fast enough to contend for the lead, and I don't think he has the closing kick of some of these other ones like Maxfield or Essential Quality. So without using the answer that I don't think it can happen, that answer's off the table. What is the best case scenario for Art Collector to get to the winner's circle?
I would actually say of the sort of ones we've talked about that maybe can be close to the pace, like Medina Spirit, Hot Rod Charlie, our collectors four that, you know, maybe to his benefit. And I think he's the one that maybe can sit and try to get the jump on Essential Quality or Maxfield without having to be right at Nixco's hip. I still would say, though, that in my mind, Nixco wouldn't run his race for our collector to win. It's very polarizing for me. Either the front end wins and it's Nixco, or, you know, they all dueled themselves and someone else comes from the back. But I just think Essential Quality and Maxfield are better than the ones who figure to be close to Nixco.
And then the seventh horse and the final one we'll talk about on the list is Max Player. And this is a horse who, let's face it, until 2021, he didn't look like he had a race in his past performances that could smell any of these other six horses. And lo and behold, he has turned into a tremendously different and tremendously improved runner in 2021 for Steve Asmussen. Wins in both the Jockey Club Gold Cup and the Suburban. I'll admit, he's a horse who was off my radar before several months ago. I'm still not 100% convinced that he's good enough to beat a field like this, but he's another one that's just much better than I ever gave him credit for.
Yeah, he's, I think of horses like him. I mean, even Zenyatta, as great as she was at four, which he was able to accomplish at six, like, you know, I get the game, and the classics are three-year-old races for a reason, and that's, you know, what you want to win. But it is incredible to me how, you know, these horses do take steps forward. And I would, you know, he's one of them. I would still say, though, he's a cut below. And I hate saying that about a grade one animal because they're not a cut below. But when I think of Nixco and Essential Quality, they're just on another level than this one, I think.
Max Player certainly figures to be a good price for a horse that, as you mentioned, is already a grade one winner, win the Suburban, win the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and really on a roll, and a brand new horse, if you will, for his trainer Steve Asmussen this year. He is going to be completely overlooked, I think, in the wager. I can't imagine that he'd be any lower than maybe the sixth choice in the race. Essential Quality, Nixco, Hot Rod Charlie, Medina Spirit, Maxfield, I think would all be lower than Max Player.
I agree.
So the good news is, if you're somebody out there who likes Max Player or maybe likes Art Collector, despite the fact that Art Collector beat Maxfield last time out, you're probably going to get, I mean, you could get double digits on these horses that are, you know, either grade one winners or multiple graded stakes winners or whatever it is coming into the Breeders' Cup Classic. And it's a testament to how deep this field is. You know, we had there was a deep field last year. That field with Maximum Security and Improbable and Authentic and Tom's D'Etat. I mean, that was, I thought,
it's
one of I thought one of the strongest fields that we had seen in a while in the Breeders' Cup Classic. And unfortunately, the field was so strong that everyone retired after that race, it seemed like. Basically, everyone right to the breeding shed, and which unfortunately is the way things go right now in racing. I mean, there's a lot more money to be made as a stallion than there is on the racetrack, even though the purses are so great right now compared to the way they were 20, 30, 40 years ago. The money that you can earn in the stallion barn is just so much far and above that, that, you know, it's like they race to get to the breeding shed. I don't know if that's going to happen this year. It probably will with some of these runners. I mean, let's face it. If there are a few of these, what do they have to prove if they, after this year's Breeders' Cup Classic? They already have the resume that everyone dreams about, whether it's, you know, a horse winning the Travers and the Belmont, or a horse winning the Kentucky Derby, if in fact Medina Spirit holds up and wins the Derby, or, you know, races like Art Collector has won, or Nick's Go has won, already a Breeders' Cup winner and could be a multiple Breeders' Cup winner. So, unfortunately, they'll probably, a lot of these will head to the breeding shed after this, but this year is another one like last year where there are six or seven just phenomenal runners in the race, and you're going to get a decent price on almost anyone you like. And even the favorite, let's just assume Nick's Go is the favorite. I mean, I can't imagine in this field he's going to be much less than maybe like 2-1 in this field.
That's what I was thinking. You know, the Lucas Classic obviously is Breeders' Cup, but, you know, he's 1-10 in there, and I forget what he was in the Whitney, but, you know, when you think about him showing up to these types of races, big money on the line, graded stakes, grade ones, and he's odds on, and if you're a believer, now you can get him at 2-1 or 5-2. I mean, that's as good of a price on a horse like that as you dream of. Essential quality may be twofold. You might be 3-1 or 7-2.
Well, I don't know who's going to win this race, Ed, but I guarantee you, whoever wins this race, at some point, you will hear from somebody who said, I can't believe I got so-and-so on that horse, no matter who the winner
is.
What's
say.
What's that?
I said, you know what I'm going to say.
Go ahead.
I can't believe I got a pizza from Rockies on Nick's Go hitting the board.
Well, now you see, now you're giving us, we have different rooting action because I don't know who I like in this race. It's a little too early for me to
start. I just want Charles to buy my lunch.
Well, yeah, but I mean, even if for some reason I don't like Nick's Go, I want him to at least finish third because I'd like to collect on that. But if I have to pay for Charles's lunch and whatever he's drinking, which I hope is not some some sort of cognac or brandy I'm going to have to take out a second mortgage to buy for him. I'll be happy to pay it, but I'd rather collect. We're going to take one more break when we come back. The last segment here on the Bristnet.com call-in show. Phone lines are open. Give us a call, 888-966-4776.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Daily charges on the best fall racing can add up quickly, which is why Brisnet.com offers discounted prices on Keeneland's fall meet. Want to handicap all October for one low price? Then visit Brisnet.com/plans to get full meet Keeneland past performances. For only $20, you can have unlimited access to PPs at October's premier racing meet. Are you looking to go beyond the PPs and get even more information and analysis? Bristnet.com has full meat daily selection plans for Keeneland. Daily Selections is Bristnet's flagship picks product, providing full card analysis and best bets for the nation's top tracks. Visit Bristnet.com/plans to get your Keeneland plans now. Buy now and save all October long.
Mark your calendars for Saturday, October 9th, as the best West Virginia Breds in Training take to the track for the 35th annual West Virginia Breeders Classics. The night features nine stakes races worth a total of $1 million, headlined by the $300,000 West Virginia Breeders Classic and the $175,000 Kubota Breeders Classic. It all gets started under the Saturday night lights at 7 o'clock Eastern. It's the 35th annual West Virginia Breeders Classics on Saturday, October 9th, here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. In this week's edition, I take a look back at the racing career of Boston Harbor. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 219 or XM 201, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. The Brisnet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman and Ed DeRosa here on Horse Racing Radio Network. Final segment of this week's show. Still a time for a call if you'd like to give us one. 888-966-4776. Ed, we're on the eve of opening day at Keeneland and really the final chance for some of the Breeders' Cup hopefuls to strut their stuff or maybe take that last step towards Breeders' Cup weekend. There are some good races at Belmont this weekend, which could have Breeders' Cup implications. Several races this opening weekend and even into next week at Keeneland. Is there any race or are there any races this weekend that you're more looking forward to than the others, or maybe that you really need to see something from some of the runners to maybe sway you one way or another toward the Breeders' Cup?
That's a good question. I would say in the Hirsch, I'm looking forward to Japan exacting his revenge. Ryan Moore is absolutely 100% one of the best in the world, but we all make mistakes. And his Sword Dancer, I'm still kind of just surprised that he couldn't get the job done on Japan there. So we'll run it back in the Hirsch on him. And in the Alcibiades on Friday, I really like Diodoro's runner, Lady Edith. I know it's not Lady Edith, that's another horse. But Diodoro's runner in the Alcibiades, 15-1 on the morning line. I think she can rebound off that spin away. And then the Miles, a blockbuster. You know, I could make a case for a bunch, but I'm swinging for the fences in there, Bobby, with Monarch's Glen.
Well, getting back to the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic, which is race 7 on the Saturday card at Belmont, and Dave Friedman and I will go over all of the graded stakes this weekend on the Weekend Stakes preview presented by Naira Betts tomorrow, 6 to 7 p.m. here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. But the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic, certainly one of them we're going to go over. And you mentioned that Ryan Moore did not really give Japan the greatest trip last time out in the Sword Dancer. Ryan Moore is not aboard Japan this Saturday in the Joe Hirsch. Wayne Lorden, who has ridden Japan in the past, didn't do very well aboard Japan, but gets aboard him. I would think most people would think this is a negative as far as a rider change. Would you agree?
I mean, I think any time if you go from Ryan Moore to someone else, I guess I don't think anyone's better than Ryan. But that said, this is a more than capable rider. I mean, I'd liken it to going from Joel Rosario to Tyler Gaffleon. I don't know that anyone's better than Joel, but look, you know you're in good hands. And if Aiden O'Brien's willing to leg you up, that's enough for me.
Well, speaking of Joel Rosario, he rides Gufo, who beat Japan last time out in the Sword Dancer, and he'll likely be the favorite this time around in the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic. He breaks from post position number 3, riding a 2-race win streak into the race. Good win last time out, 3 wide, took the lead, and held off Japan, who had trouble in the race. Are those the two again, you figure, in this race? It's just you're hoping for the opposite outcome?
Yeah, they're definitely the two, but from a wagering standpoint, I'm not going to be doubling the cost of my ticket on Gufo, so it's Japan or bust.
In the race prior to that, it's the matron for the 2-year-old fillies going 6 furlongs on the turf, and, you know, this race could play into one of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprints or Juvenile Turf Filly Sprints. So you always have to pay attention to these races. And as always, it seems like Wesley Ward is going to have a say in the outcome. He doesn't have 17 of them in this race, but he does have two. Poppy Flower breaking from the inside. Chi-Town Lady coming off an impressive win in the Bolton Landing last time out. When she won in the Bolton Landing, it was on a turf course that was rated yielding. She ran very well that day under John Velasquez and won going away. Joel Rosario picks up the mount this Saturday at Belmont Park. How much do you pay attention to the course condition for these runners? She was so impressive on a yielding turf. Do you take that into consideration, or do you take points away if the turf ends up being firm this Saturday?
I think you have to bake it into the price you're willing to take. But my starting point is always, okay, we know they can run this fast. You know, if it's a 110 in the slop, which, you know, a lot of people say slop can move up a horse, be leery of the figure. Well, in my mind, we know they can run that fast. And if they're 10 to 1, it's an auto bet no matter what, because a 110 wins most races. So that's kind of my process with it, is once you can know they can do it, then the other variables kind of play into what price you're willing to take. And if they're the favorite and it's firm versus yielding, then maybe that gives you a reason to take a shot against, because it's an opportunity to try to beat the favorite. But when they're a price, it doesn't bother me at all.
Maybe the most intriguing runner on the Saturday card at Belmont Park is Baby Yoda. He's actually favored on the morning line in the Grade 2 Vosburg, 6 furlongs for the 3-year-olds and up, sprinting on the main track. Short but sweet field of 5 that includes Firenze Fire and Following Sea and Jalen Journey, who's very, very talented, and a Euro named Good Effort, who's coming out of races in both France and Great Britain. Baby Yoda has kind of sprung to stardom as fast as anybody. He was running in a maiden 10 claimer in his debut the end of May this year, and now he's the morning line favorite over Firenze Fire and Following Sea in the Vosburg. What do you make of Baby Yoda and his, you know, his rise to fame?
I'm against, and part of it admittedly is a homer play for Brisnet. The day he freaked at Saratoga, he actually got a buyer figure 1 point higher than Flightline. And that doesn't pass the smell, the eye, any test you want to give it. Pregnancy test, he'll fail all of them. There's no way he was faster than Flightline. So from a figure standpoint, I'm definitely hoping people go gaga over the buyer. And I'm against him, and I'm not sure if I'll spread against him or just play Friends Fire, but this is a horse I'm fading with every dollar in my wallet.
It's funny you mention that buyer speak figure. Both of us use the Brisnet past performances, and on the speed ratings for Brisnet, his last rating was really not much faster, barely faster than what Firenze Fire got for his effort, finishing second in the forego in that very highly publicized race and famous race now, where he tried to savage Yalpon in late stretch and maybe cost himself a win in doing so. Following C has run a Brisnet speed figure that's as fast or faster than Baby Yoda's ever run. Jalen Journey's run a speed figure that's right there with Baby Yoda. It's interesting how with different publications you can get these different it's not an interpretation, you know, it is an interpretation, but opinion is the wrong word. Obviously, so many people use those buyer speed figures that he's going to be pounded. But if you use the Brisnet speed figures, he looks like he's just one of several that has a big chance.
He's certainly in the mix, as are several. And anytime you think, oh, this is competitive, any, you know, few could legitimately win, I'm not looking to take the favorite in that type of race. So definitely against Baby Yoda. And, you know, just in general, Bobby, I think, you know, speaking of figures, I wish there was more discussion. You know, a lot of times when, you know, you question buyers, you know, some of the boo birds and the Cinco fans come out and say, well, what's your figure for the race? And I don't make figures because I trust BrisNet, so I don't need to spend the time to make my own figure. I have one I trust. And, I never really understood that argument. So I wish there was more discussion about it.
Well, certainly fun to discuss it, and we will find out this weekend. On behalf of our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, Ed DeRosa, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us on another edition of the BrisNet.com call-in show. Lots of action tomorrow here on the network. Race Day, presented by Twin Spires, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Live action from Belmont Park, Santa Anita, and opening day at Keeneland. And then, of course, the weekend stakes preview presented by Naira Betts tomorrow, 6 to 7 p.m. here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Have a great night, everybody.